Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA, and today is a Thursday, May the 19th, 2016. Much love, much respect to the born day of the great brother Malcolm. Much love, much respect to you in making that great transformation as your ancestral spirit continues to guide us all, brother. Much love, much respect. So today is May the 19th, 2016. It is a Thursday. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to bringing you the show today. Missed you guys yesterday, but had a good time hanging with the family. So cool to do that. And believe me, my days nonstop. Even on different days, every day is a work day. Hey, that's because that's the grind that we're on. But everyone, just want to thank you and glad that you're listening to Tando Radio Show. And hopefully you are having a great weekend, because we have a good show for you lined up today. And at any time, definitely get in on the conversation. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#. And then all you do is hit star 61. I'll see you in queue and definitely will bring you up. So with that being said, let's get into the business at hand so we can start today's show. First thing that we do is we talk about how we can support Black Talk Radio Network via the crowdfunding campaign. All you have to do is go to the website for Black Talk Radio Network, find the crowdfunding digital black media program that's going on, the Black Talk Media Project. Crowdfunding campaign is active and doing and going on as we speak right now.
Brother
Make
Dave,
sure that you are doing
real quick. Got the extra large shirts in.
Oh, cool. My man Scotty got the extra large shirts in. So for those of you that want the extra large shirts, Scotty has them in. So that is another good thing, and these things are very popular and they're so cool. To see that, I can't wait until, you know, as the network continues to grow to where we can. This one is not the first one, but it's a key one because it's just a great T-shirt. So I'm definitely going to get a couple of more just because I need to have some, because I want to wear some and I want to keep some for future. So. Listen, this is the crowdfunding campaign that's actively going on right now, where you can support Black Talk Radio Network to ensure that it is here providing you the information that it's been providing you. and is why you're listening. Very, very, very important. So go to the crowdfunding campaign there, and what you can do is you can actively engage in feeding the roots so that the tree can continue to bear great fruit. So now you can go to option one. Option one is a one-time contribution of $24.99 or less. All contributions, donations, seeds of generosity are extremely, extremely appreciated. Thank you so much. It's not the amount that gave, it's the heart that gave. So without a doubt, that is significant. But make sure that you are taking this from a project, understanding that this network has to continue and it has to have some productive energy in order to do that. And that is one of the ways that you can support it with your energy, by financially supporting it so that it can stay vibrant and do the things that it needs and continue to grow. So for $24.99 or less, you can make payment via PayPal or by sending a check, money order to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. And with that option, you will receive the monthly statistics performance reports as well as the social media operations for the network. So that's option one. All donations are critical. Option two is for one penny more, you would receive, in addition to the monthly email reports, you will get a free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation gift for your contribution. If you would like to receive two t-shirts, that would require $50. If you would like three t-shirts, that would require $75. Four t-shirts for $100. And make sure that you have a corresponding size for each, for each donation that you will be giving. So that is option number two. Option three, become a monthly contributor of $25 or more to Black Talk Radio Network. And you will receive also everything in option one and option two, that being the receive the monthly email reports and the social media report, and receiving the Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation gift. You will also be eligible to receive gifts from the network. And that is for all of the monthly contributors and appreciation for your financial support to Black Talk Media Project. And once again, make sure you put the corresponding size to the orders for the t-shirts that you will be receiving. And pretty soon, Scotty will have more information on the different variations, the different sizes, and looking to get the sisters' t-shirt, the t-shirts for the ladies. So that is what we're doing. And hey, this is a great way and great opportunity for you to show your appreciation to Black Talk Radio Network by giving it energy so that it can sustain itself, which is very, very crucial and critical. So now, with that being said, let's go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook and check out what's posted there, what's going on there, and some of the stories that we have posted. So posted a pretty good amount of stories today. Was able to get up real, real early, get on my grind before I had to get in this daggone traffic. I hate traffic, but was able to do that. So let's check out some of the articles that are there. But before we do that, let's just say that there are some great opportunities for you in supporting another business by going to a seasoning business. It's a Black-owned business. It's people, great people own this, and this stuff that they make is even better. Oh, my goodness. This stuff called Uncle Fat seasoning is absolutely delicious. You put it on everything. And if you would like to order Uncle Fat's, if you haven't ordered any, it's there. I use it, and we use it daily. All you need to do is go to email them at getunclefats@gmail.com. That's getunclefats@gmail.com. And that will secure your seasoning from Uncle Fats. And this stuff is really, really good. I can't say that enough, how good this stuff is. It just is. So that is one thing that you can do. Also, if you're interested in buying the precious metals and transferring your cash, and transferring your cash into real money, sorry about that, guys, transferring your cash into real money, then you can go to Prosperity Mint and check us out there, and you can order from there. We have a wide range of different kinds of coins and rounds and bars. If you're interested in that, just go to Prosperity Mint and engage in transferring the wealth back to you and your family. Also, if you're interested in taking the precious metals class, you can contact me. So Prosperity Mint is up. Definitely, if you would like to use it, go ahead and use it. It's some good stuff that's there, and then you can start to have real money, an ancestral tie to where we were before. Okay, so, great. I love this sister. So we're going to get into today's show, and we're going to, let me start with today's show, drop down and have a, let me just pull up, probably if I do it better here, because you won't lose anything. So we're going to jump into today's show. We had a couple of good postings out of there. And I would just say, let's jump into some of those, because this is my first time looking on here. Let's check out some of the articles. They all still there? Yep, they're all still there, I guess. Still checking out. 1 second, we'll get right to it, and let's jump into the show. All right, here we go. The first article. First article, I said, the purge has changed gears. Thanks, Ross, for sending. And Senate votes to allow 9/11 families to sue Saudi Arabia. Will the U.S. be sued over drones? So check out that article. I'm going to talk about some of that today, directly and indirectly. Next article is for today's show. What we're going to be talking about today's show is the purge has changed gear. Many new roads to a more advanced control grid have been paved. From a great seeding of deception, hopefully we won't play follow the leader to our demise. So that is the article that's there. Next article came from, where did this one come from? I can't even tell. GlobalResearch.com. The U.S. government is the most corrupt in history. Yeah, nothing new, but still good to know. Check out some of the things. Man, this is a key story right here. This is a very key story that only 10 people grabbed. Ex-general says NATO-Russia nuclear war possible within a year. And that was out of Reuters. That's where that comes from. Next article. Let me move this down a little bit. Next article comes from, what is this? It's going to be Vokit.com. It says the U.S. military is developing a sleeping underwater army of drones. So check out that article, because we are moving into GNW1, Global Nuclear War 1. So this is all unfolding. Check that article out. Next article. West weaponizing junk culture. And this one comes from Russia Insider, RussianInsider.com. And this one is nations around the world are increasingly wary of the West's insertion on the use of soft power junk culture. So check out that. Very true. Next article. Very important one. Not many of us checked that one out. Missed this one, but it was a good one. Telling. This one comes from Business Wire. 3M awarded contract for $177,000 body armors.
Body paint.
Man, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get some water. Body armor plates. And my thing to this, why is that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are definitely fast moving to a events that are going to unfold that can be extremely violent in the here in the very near future. So this is very telling. We're going to take a look at some of these articles for today. Next one, the calm before the storm. Excuse me, the calm before the coming global storm. Check out this article. And, you know, I was talking to people inside of our trading group today, and we looked at this picture, and we, you know, right away, we realized that that's a missile. And we saw the overall Illuminati influence by having the Sons of the Rays come in at the angle that they're coming in. So just my, you know, some things that, that I acknowledge, but there's good reasons why I say that. And it's not because of being a, I don't ignore anything that happens around me, nor do I ignore the trying to cloak and hide some of the things around me. So realize that this stuff is very true, and it is a part of the overall grid of control. So check out that article. Really good one, that one. Tells you where we're going and why you need to know. Next article comes from Russia Insider. Russia toys with releasing Hillary's emails. The purge. Going on. Next one is from Sputnik News. Another dirty deal. EU turns to war criminals to curb African migrant influx. This is, you know, one of the continuous process of the same thing, because we expect a different result. We got to change everything. Next article. This one comes from Sputnik also. U.S. Defense Secretary calls for Congress to veto the military funding bill. He wants them to vet. Man, please. How about cut the whole thing out? Appropriately. In the appropriate manner. But see, to me, they want it because they want this veto for a whole bunch of other reasons that have to deal with more extensive funding for them. So this is, you know, amazing and where we are. Which time we got? Okay, great. Next article, man, this stuff is getting close. China intercepts U.S. military spy plane over the South Sea of China. And I guess the plane flew within 50 feet. You're starting to see this happen almost weekly, and what I think is going to happen is that it's going to be a small incident that starts a very big a large global nuclear war one, and they're not going to use the old war instruments of the past. They're actually going to use some of the new tactical ones. Hold on 1 second, let me grab Doc Hawkins. You're on air with us, just so you know, because I'm on air. What's going on, Doc?
Oh, shoot, right now. My bad. I thought the show
was 20. No.
Just so you know,
everyone can hear you. Wait, Doc, just before you say anything, everyone can hear you, because I just wanted to switch over because I didn't want to lose a reception on the call. So what's going on, Doc?
Oh, not a whole lot. Well, I'll talk to you about it here after the show.
Okay, great. Well, hey, Doc, I appreciate you, and we'll talk soon. And then we got to get you back on, Doc. And then we need to talk, too, because there's a couple of programs that I've run into that you need to know about.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds
all right, Doc.
Good.
We'll talk to you in a little.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so, everyone, I'm telling you, this stuff is what you see with the military engagements that they're preparing you for when it all goes live, so that you can say that they can say that they told you and you should have known everything, because really you should have. This stuff is going to, this is not going to slow down. It's going to end badly. I could see a P-8 Orion actually being shot down at some point and at some time. event. And I think the event that's going to really start this overall global superpower, global nuclear war, one, is going to be a small event, and it's going to actually springboard into a much, much larger global event, as we said. So check out that article. Next one. And this one comes from Sputnik also. Sputnik News. Man, this is hilarious. Check this out. U.S. military trains soldiers to ethically hack foreign governments. An ethical hack. No. So, doesn't matter. These are going to springboard, and I think that this is actually how the incident of war is going to be, because of a financial attack by way of the banking sector through so-called other foreign entities, which, how will you know, is going to start a major, major event globally. So check out that one. And then this is one that everybody should be checking out. FDIC Bill 35, 2016. There's an interagency guidance deposit reconciliation policy. Man, they are talking about a major problem that is here, and I'm going to talk about it with you. If you still have your overall cash that's in the banks, you need to move it towards something that you can have real faith and confidence, because the dollar is not one that you're going to be able to have confidence in. So you want to go to Prosperity Mint and engage in that form to get the overall precious metals. Trust me, you do. Next article comes from Money. My man Jambone sent me this. From banking institution fears hackers could do harm to the global financial system. Oh, man, it ain't the hackers. It's the hacks. It's the overall hacks. And this is, you know, one of the things that I definitely believe that's going to happen is going to be an economic event catapulted by a cyber attack from a foreign entity, because you won't know of where the origin of it was and everything else, and then boom, is going to definitely continue in a way that is going to unfold in a very, very dangerous nuclear war scenario. So, next one. Yugoslavia leader sees desperation of opposition. Legislation. That's crazy. So, but Venezuela is falling apart. I was reading one thing where a man said, I'm forced to rob now because I have nothing. And this goes by really quick. And what I really wanted to do is make sure that what's happening in Venezuela doesn't happen to you, our family, our community, and anyone around us, because it is super dangerous. It is unstable. And what you're having is people are starting to starve because they didn't have the necessary provisions in order to sustain themselves. And this is a bad situation, a bad look. Next one. Made in the U.S., three signs that point to Washington's influence had a hand in the BRICS coup. So they do this all the time. Next one. We want food. And this comes from Venezuela again. And that is, I can't remember what the name of the paper was, but this is the global spot.com. And what this is talking about, what's going on in Venezuela, you definitely need to know, and you need to prepare for it, because just because you live in the United States does not mean that you're immune to the rest of what's going on in the world. And as a matter of fact, you are actually going to be targeted, and prepare accordingly. So then we go to, this is a huge story. Texas plans to build gold depository. One of the reasons why I moved here was because of that. So, okay, everyone, I got to grab something to drink real quick. And Scotty, if you could play a couple of commercial breaks. We're going to go into the commercial break just a little bit early, but I got to grab something. I got to run down and get something to drink real quick. It's only going to take me like 2-3 minutes. So You're listening to Tando Radio Show. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's live show. At any time, give us a call. Area code 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks. Give me like 3 minutes.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Sorry it took me a little bit there, but thank goodness we had the radio station breaks. Needed to grab something to drink real quick, so good to go now. So let's jump into today's show. Looks like, fix this. Okay, cool. Just was checking out some things. Listen, wanted to bring up some things that's going on in the world that I think is very, very important, especially in the times that we're in, and how that can play off into everything that's going on. So there was an article that I posted inside of Tando that there was a couple of them. And I wanted to retouch on what's going on in Saudi Arabia and give you my take on what's going on here. Now, a lot of people said that this is no big deal, but anytime you drop somebody's treasury notes, it's a huge deal, because you start to say you don't want their overall debt. You don't want their currency. And in the past, we all know how that turned out for a lot of other political leaders, Gaddafi, Saddam, it goes on and so forth. So this is a very key moment now, and I'm gonna tell you, this has something to do with way less than what they're telling you. And why this is so important is because it's important. Whoa, that's important. I'm going to talk about that. This is important because of this. I believe it's strategically planned. And this isn't the actions of an enemy at all. This is actually actions of an ally. By Saudi Arabia doing this. This is just my thinking. And I very well could be wrong, but I doubt that I am. And let me tell you why. The U.S. dollar actually needs to devalue itself. And the rest of the world will not allow the U.S. dollar to devalue itself. So they've had to take measures into their own hand. They reported that Saudi Arabia has now all of a sudden said that they have a certain amount of U.S. treasuries. And it was much smaller than, it was never reported before, but then they came out with how much it was. And if you look at that, yes, it's significant, but it's not anything that's significant to really make any real momentum, you know, any real headway or momentum in hurting a country. Yes, it will hurt them, but it won't hurt them. It won't hurt the country. It hurts the people of the country. But I think that this part of this whole thing is because the U.S. has to devalue its currency. And it has to have a legal reason or a plausible reason why its currency was losing traction. But this is the wrong way to do it. But I still think that this is, because think about it. The U.S., Saudi Arabia now can be sued. So what do they say? Oh, in order for, since we can be sued now, in order for us to make payments on that, we're going to need to sell our treasuries. So the very thing that the people would try to sue them for and to receive is going to be completely devalued, or devalued much more than what it is already. Shrewd strategical plan here. And then now this also offers the U.S. a little more ability to compete. But see, the bad thing about having this type of move is that it destabilizes everything. Then now countries start running to dump the dollar because they don't want to be the last ones to hold it. They want you to be the last ones to hold it. And so what do? They give it to you. And all of a sudden, we have the floodgates of the rain of worthless currency coming back into the country. And it's not going to affect the people that are strategically positioned and ready for this, not at all. It's going to hurt the everyday person in a real dramatic way. So this whole thing with Saudi Arabia dropping the treasuries, one, I think they hold a whole lot more than what has been already published. A whole lot more. Remember, this was the country that was using its currency. Its currency that it was using was a de facto U.S. currency, because all of the oil that was sold had to be converted from the currencies of the nations that it was getting it from. Or excuse me, the oil from the countries that had the oil, and they were selling it to the countries that needed the oil. Both sides needed to have the U.S. dollar, and because of that, we talked about it plenty of times. We had an artificial lifestyle here in the United States. But see, the purge is here now, and the purge is all about showing that the U.S. has been engaged in fraud, manipulation, war crimes, financial thuggery, and just overall colonization and everything else. Why? Because that is perfect for the people that really, and the people, corporations that really do make decisions, for the attention never to be on them, to where people start to say, yo, we don't need to even give these people and their decrees any form of energy any longer. We can do this on our own. That's what they're trying to avoid. But we got a caller in queue. Let me go to the caller in queue, then we'll get back to this all. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name? Where are you calling from? What is your question or comment?
This is Brother Jam from Lubbock, Texas.
Brother Jam, thank you, brother, for the message yesterday, and thanks for the news, man. I'm going to have to put you as an honorary editor-in-chief for the posting of news inside of Tando Radio Show, Jambone.
I just have to giggle about that. But, it's just something that I just love doing, just sharing information if it's possible.
Yeah, you do.
I was going to say, did you ever catch that post? It was actually several posts I shared this week. And all throughout the public media, they were showing a lot of propaganda, a whole bunch of falseness, what other countries were showing about how much was the treasuries that Saudi Arabia hold of U.S. Even the Chinese said that they supposed to hold $750 billion worth of treasury assets. Now, like I said, I still don't know. There's still like a lot of falseness going on. But the U.S., they even said this week that, like you said, that that little bit amount was at $116 billion. That's not going to do anything. Well, people got to recognize once you add like 12 months of like 14 or 24% interest or something like that, it goes way up. And, that's not including like they said this week that if Saudi Arabia goes with this and everything to drop the currencies, they was going to freeze their assets in court until it's over. So depending on, I let a lot of people know that, especially, in our group that, look forward to the markets kind of spiraling down, especially like the petrodollar, if that ever happens. Because, that's what mostly their assets. Don't get me wrong, they have a lot of other assets, but they have mostly that to do with the petrodollar. And that's what the U.S. is, what you call a foundation is, besides their reserves and goals to be able to do deals and trades with the IMF, is the petrodollar. They do a lot of trades with precious commodities, cotton, corn, and so on, but mainly it's the most valuable resources like your oil and your precious metals and diamonds and so forth. Also, I was going to say, I'll leave it there. I'm going to share something else with you. What
okay.
Are you talking about there?
Yeah, this is a diversion. It's the perfect diversion to set up for war. It is the perfect diversion to set up for war. One of the things why the Saudis have to do this is because they've run out of oil. They run out of oil, and so because of that, they need to create the friction. And not only that, they're doing the U.S. a big favor, so that the U.S. can blame somebody else for the economic woes that it's going through. And this is a strategical move, because the bad thing about this is once one country starts dumping, another country is too, because they don't want to be holding that currency that is no longer viable when they're already doing that throughout the world anyhow now.
Right.
They're already divesting themselves from the U.S. dollar. And this is the bad thing about that, is that there's more outside currency in the world, U.S. dollars outside of the United States almost, to as much as here, that is here. Because you think about it, they had to hold on to this to buy any and everything. Oil is the most traded commodity of all of the commodities, and then the precious metals would be after that. The oil is critical because you can't have the energy to move forward in your overall economy.
That's right.
So this is huge, but I think it's coordinated because the U.S. needs to devalue its currency But I think they're in for a surprise.
Definitely.
And the surprise is that the other countries aren't going to let them devalue their currency. We're not going to let the U.S. do that, because that absolutely weakens them. That absolutely weakens them. That's, I don't think that they're going to do it before that time. We're going to see an event happen that springs off in Europe, in Eurasia, in Africa, or in the South Sea of China, or in the Baltic, where it jumps off to where now we have a global nuclear war scenario, global nuclear war one, jumping off. So, yeah, Jambone, I'm with you. You said you had another part.
Yes, I'm going to go down the barrel in a speech.
Go on down the barrel. Let's do it.
Okay. About Iran. You know, when they talked about, you know, what Iran's going to flood the market. So now, like, you know, they got everyone on Iran's neck, you know, their foot on their neck about everything, talking about putting sanctions back on them and even trying to devalue their rate of oil for what they can get out of it. And, the governor of Texas, Abbott, you know, I don't know if you got my video or not, but he was speaking on that, he was giving all this falseness about what Iran would do to Israel. This doesn't have nothing to do with Israel. It's all about, you know, their oil. If they flood the oil markets, you know, depending on how many barrels of oil that's produced today, that would also send petrodollar plummeting. So they're, you know, the Israelites and, you know, some other senators and so forth that has investments over there U.S. oil markets, they had something to do with it. They was talking about not having investors go to Iran just because of those incidents of talking about nuclear threat to Israel. And Abbott said that Texas is supposed to be like the 12th largest economy in the world or something like that. So worth like a little over $1 trillion. So that should, you know, they should be like alarm selling to everybody that live here in Texas, around the country, with Texas major, whenever it become like was it a sanction or not sanctioned, separated from the states. And you know, if that happens, I don't know how much would the U.S. lose in in profits, and or you could say in wealth, if Texas were to do that, since they're talking about, I don't know if they already went through with the process of moving all their gold currencies from New York down to Fort Worth, Texas. I thought it was going to be Central Texas. That would be the best idea, or somewhere down there like Fort Hood. Because, you know, there's a huge military base down there. And after all, they're keeping a lot of Iraq's billions of dollars of assets they had stole from Kuwait back in the day, that Bush holds down there in Fort Worth. Not Fort Worth, but I think it's called Killeen. Is it Killeen? Yeah, I think it's Killeen, Texas. That's where Fort Worth is. I can't remember the town. But anyway, long story short, you know, Abbott was talking about they will have nothing to do with Iran. They vetoed the trade. They're working with other counties in the state of Texas, also vetoed. And they're talking about other states too, but the main thing is Texas. So, you know, once you posted everything about the state being separated this morning, and I remember we've been talking about it for a while, that's like bells ringing in my head. It's like, yeah, they're going to go with the, you know, plan to try to separate Texas from the state, being that Abbott saying all this stuff, they don't have nothing to do with Iran. It'll like Barack Obama's bill that he had issued and everything. And you know, that's just my theory. You still there, brother? Hello.
Sorry, I had it on mute real quick. But no, it's really important, because there are some things in this that we need to really talk about. And We're going to talk about that with the gold depository that's down and why this is all happening. Because let me tell you what you're seeing here. What is the rest of the world doing government-wise? They're all repatriating their gold. So why would a state like Texas repatriate their gold? Because they're acting just like an independent country from the United States, because that's what they intend to do. It was just last week that in Texas, in Dallas, they had the state GOP meeting, and on discussion was secession.
That's right.
They only talk about this mildly and then outwardly and then publicly when they plan on doing it, and they're just waiting for the right opportunity. So this is really, really big, and it goes along with everything else that we have here, because if Texas left the U.S., the United States is not going to just let Texas go. I'm not going to let Texas go.
No, especially if we have all the oil refineries, majority of all the U.S. oil refineries are right here in Texas. And when the Abbott said that he don't want have nothing to do with Iran, you know, that's big. You know, you don't want to have nothing to do with their refining oil from foreign countries like Iran.
Yeah. Yeah, this is key. This is key. But hold on, Jambone. We got another caller in queue. Let's take this brother in queue. Welcome, brother. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you calling from? What is your question or comment?
Peace. What's up, bro? How you doing?
What's up there, brother Mel? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. How you?
I'm good.
Had a couple of quick observations.
Yes.
First,
shoot.
When Venezuela finally got off their knees and got on their bellies, who in the world came like a knight in shining armor to come help them?
Right. Yep.
To the rescue.
That's right. I think that
my second observation was what you guys were just talking about, because it's interesting that it's real, a lot of buzz in Oklahoma, in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They're going under the 10th Amendment. And they're trying to pull away from, you know, they going Texas style. So maybe it could be a trend, and they're pushing for other people, other states to, go that route too. So I don't know. This could be very interesting.
Yeah. What we're seeing is now you're seeing why they're ordering all of the bullets, all of the armor plates, armor plates for vests and everything else, and the militarization for the police departments have now become military kill units, squad units, and squash units is what I meant to say, because this stuff is real. The rest of the world doesn't really care what the U.S. citizens thinks at all. They had enough of the tyrannical rule of the U.S. So it doesn't matter what you think here in the United States. The rest of the world has already determined the fate of you here in the United States. And this is critical for you to know. And China now has come to, you know, is invoking itself, you know, placing itself in a position of leadership throughout the world, because the beacon of freedom is going to be changed from here to there into Russia. Why? Because it serves a purpose of control, complete control. And I think you're going to definitely see this speed up and pick up in this whole thing. It's not by design that we have these situations that we have globally that are unfolding, because they all go in one direction, the dismantling and the breakup of the U.S. So this is where we are. So I definitely think that this is something that we should really be concerned about, as you all brothers should, because this, once this continues to happen, before you know it, the windows of prepare will be closed. And These deals that are being made throughout the world, they are all being made absent of the U.S. And then now with the changing of the currency, with the changing of the overall economic landscape from debt to asset, it really kills the United States. Yes, the United States has gold. Oh, they got plenty of it. But most of the United States gold is stolen and ill-spoken for gold. And the world is going to sanction the U.S. They're going to sanction them economically, politically, socially, militarily. And they will do it almost until everything in this U.S. will change, because it will be under new management. This is where we're going. This is the path that's being brought to everyone. And this is why it's critical that you prepare. Take these moments, these seconds, because that's all we have, in my opinion, before. And I'm going to show you why. There's a couple of things I'm going to show you why. We only have a very short time before this war kicks off. And when the war kicks off, it kicks off right into the U.S.'s butt. And there's no way that they're going to be able to win, because they will have no allies. They'll be totally isolated, and they're already in a position of loss because they don't manufacture anything anymore. And because of that, they will be relying upon the rest of the world to provide the goods. And you're talking about in today's world, where just a few strategical strikes in all shipping and goods to the general population stops immediately. And they told these businesses that this was a great way for you to engage in profit. No, this was a part of the overall agenda, conspiracy agenda to deceive. So you brothers are absolutely right. And it's critical that we know these things. And we have so much instability in South America, all over the world. And there's going to be one little incident. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to tell you where I think the incident is going to be. I'm going to stick to what I originally said. It's either going to be in the Ukraine, or it's going to be in the South Sea of China. And I'm hedging my bet that it will be in the South Sea of China, because I think China will respond militarily to the constant barrage of skirmishes that we're seeing throughout that region. And it's not just in the South Sea of China, it's also in Africa and Djibouti and other places where they're engaging the Chinese military pretty much from time to time. But that South Sea of China will be the spark, in my opinion, that's where the event is going to come from. And I believe that event is going to be one that is quickly followed by a cyber attack. Just won't be able to avoid it. So, yeah, brothers, I'm with you guys. Any comments or anything, Mel or Jambo?
Yeah, I was going to comment on Kim over there in South Korea. It was like this week, it was the past week, they were talking about him pushing the button and had everybody freaked out over there. So, U.S., they send more troops over there for, South Korea. And comic about it, but I was going to say, like, Kim, he's sitting off in this cubicle, man, and have a little box with a button on it playing an old school nuclear song that's called Push the Button. And he's jamming out. He's like laughing at everybody. He's going to push the button. Anyway, I had to play around with that. Before I leave, I was going to. Did anyone catch about some stuff? They've been talking about what they call trade in African albino parts. And albino body parts, that is. And this goes on with the studies in our precious metals and some other things, slave trades, body parts trades and everything. And my research points out to, things that we, some of the research you shared and things of the fallen ones and
what you call the Khazars and so mm-hmm. forth from the ancient times. So this is like a very, very old, a very old genetic disorder that was put on us years ago. Now, would be what came before the chicken or the egg? That's a mystery right now. There's been a lot of talk about from the elders how Africans migrated to the north, and through you could say millions of years, what you want to call it, evolved. Well, you know, the question is, so supposedly if it was, you know, the people that went to the north was albinos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being albinos, you know, they can't be in much sun and so forth, and they have all these skin health problems, and they go up north and where it's cold, you know, that'd be suitable for them. If they live there for like millions of years, they, you know, come different. They, you know, they evolve and start to look a little different along what you call mating with other species of human beings, because there actually was different species of human beings. People just got to do the research. But make a long story short, it was checking out these people practicing evil practices, and what they're doing, they're killing these people. They either chop up the body parts and making potions or amulets and stuff with them, or they're taking their bodies and putting them in mines. And when they put the bodies in the mines, they're supposed to do something that's helped them to find precious assets, mostly gold. And, you know, it came through my theory and idea, and I'm still doing the research on it, but my theory is the idea, supposedly that there's something that it doesn't work with at all, albino, but supposedly if the albino had some kind of skin reaction to a certain type of mixture of metals, and supposedly if it became where that it came become dark, or the pigment would become responsible to the metal or something like that, why would they want to put a dead body in the mine, you know? But you know, there's a lot of questions to go along with this. This is some ancient history stuff. I would like somebody, you know, if anyone have any answers or books of like some old history of Africa dealing with albinos, other than what they say in the news, I'd like to hear. They can share that and send it to me so I can put that in my research. But I thought it was so interesting when, you know, they was posting some of this stuff, and I seen some stuff on the news about the albinos are still being hunted down, killed for their flesh. And
I never heard of that one.
Yeah, there's some. I'll have to send it to you. What they do, they hunt these people down, and they like I say, they eat the flesh, or they make potions and whatever. They'll take your skin or bones and make jewelry. And like I say, some of them even put their bodies in the mine to help find gold or something like that.
Wow, I never heard of that in my precious metals research. I haven't heard of that, so I would be interested in that, definitely. Well, hey, brothers, I got to get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump into some of these articles. We're going to talk about some of these articles that, you know, Jambone and my man Mel were referencing, because there's some things that we need to see what's going on. This is one of those days where you need to look at the articles and see what's really going on. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
All All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. As always, got some great callers and great information that's being shared. And what I want to do now is I want to jump into a couple of articles that we have here that we need to really look at, because it's more than just posting the articles inside of the Facebook. We actually need to look at some of these because they're telling a very, very important and critical story. So let's go there. But before we go there, I want to go to a story, and I didn't see anything on today in Tando or everything else because it was busy. And then my sister Stephanie D. Watkins says, "Hello, Dave," under one of the stories. "Hello, Dave. Today is Malcolm's birthday. Please say a few words about him on your show today. Thank you, brother." Of course. We did that. But I would say, about the brother who is still alive today, like everyone else is still alive today. Just their form in a great transformation has been made that is different. This brother actually was and is in the physical form, was a real representation. You know, there's a lot of stuff out about him that is not always pleasant, you know, and some very influential people sometimes now talk about him in a different light. But let me tell you something about my understanding of Brother Malcolm, was that he was too true for too many false people. And even though there was a side of him, and the beauty of Malcolm is not only the overall growth of Malcolm, but the willingness to even engage in something else after going in different directions and after seeing a affiliation to a organization that supersedes who your overall moral convictions. And so I believe after that there was a huge push by him to never allow an institution to rule him. And I think this is one of the great things that we can take from him, was his strength. The day that he was assassinated, he knew. Still went on stage. Still did what he was going to do. Wasn't going to allow anyone to intimidate him out of that. Not by fear. And those individuals that engaged in that actually thought that they actually had killed something that they didn't have any of the power to create. So how can you kill? But what was phenomenal about Malcolm, in my opinion, and how I've always looked at Malcolm, was one of a brother that so many were jealous of because they didn't have the same convictions, couldn't be sold out, would even battle with his own for the common good of the people. But and also still then he realized something too, that the very people that he was trying to protect would not protect him. And the thing that I've always was disappointed about was how we glorified Malcolm while denying Betty during those formidable years trying to raise the children. We all did. There were some that, there are very few that did help, but it's amazing how we want to build a hero-like characteristic of this whole story of Malcolm, but the thing that Malcolm cared about the most, his family, was not even worth our daily attention any longer. Why? Because Malcolm's not here to fight for us. One of the things I loved about Malcolm was said, if you're not willing to engage in the fight for your freedom, then you're willing to enslave your children forever. And was one that hardly many of us really didn't look at him as one that was critical from the standpoint of working on us first. Most of us always look at Malcolm as attacking them for us, when we should have been building ourselves from him. And one of the things that you never really hear is of since Malcolm time and the commitment that he made to the overall struggle, if you really look at it, he was more American than America. As far as from the standpoint of what the overall truth and the overall prosperity and the opportunities and the freedom that one should engage in anywhere in the world. So this brother was one for us to look at, emulate in the commitment of, but is also one in which we should be ashamed of. Ashamed of how we treated Betty, the children in those formative years. Yes, Betty was able to go on and continue to get the doctrine and everything else, but that was because of the will and determination of her. And it's so often that we're only willing to take from someone. And that is the most disappointing thing that we should be ashamed of in ourselves. I always say we want so-called leaders to treat us like Jesus while we kiss them like Judas. Because their whole life is supposed to be about for our overall advancement. Good friend of mine says, oh, you're going to try to get your reparations from me? And that's what we have a tendency to do, because we have not bought into the opposite consciousness. We bought into the same consciousness that would create all that has created all of these problems. And this brother, he evolved and grew and established and nurtured himself into something more than that. Unshakable. Even to unshakable even to the people that were say that they loved and adored and cried and was upset and couldn't believe and was hurt that Malcolm was gone. But I would say, well, you hurt because Malcolm was no longer a voice of reason and a rallying cry to justice and freedom. Or did you really love Malcolm? Did you really love what Malcolm stood for? Did you really love what the potential of Malcolm was becoming? Or did you just love that Malcolm was going to be doing it so that you didn't have to do it? And this is so true of all of our people. And this is what happens when we have so-called leaders. The people think that they don't have to move. They have to follow. And this brother broke that thought process among himself. Look at what he did. Everything was laid out for him. Everything, he would have definitely had taken over everything. But there was something that was wrong that he just couldn't do it. And it wasn't the truth. Wasn't the truth. So I would say, on today being Malcolm's birthday, if you have anything about Malcolm that you would like to express, it would be a good time to do it.
Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032PAMP. Much, much love to the whole family and to the energy of this brother, that we should all emulate the commitment and walk away from the shortness that the system says that we don't have to, you got leaders, let them do everything, because then that's how they really control you. It's much easier to control at a very weak point, the many. And leaders are just that, a very weak point. We must not engage in that type of mentality. So much love to Malcolm. Much respect, brother. So one of the articles, and I want to go down to this article. There's a couple of them. Let me get to it real quick. And it's a very significant one. I want to go to a couple of articles that we need to look at. It's one that says FDIC fill 2016 interagency guide, depositors. Let me move this down. Reconciliation practices. Okay, open that up. Go there and you want to open this up. And let me tell you why you want to open this up, because this is telling you before everything is done. Here it is inside of this. This comes from the FDIC. You've seen it on all of the banks. They say that they're FDIC insured, but let's read it here. FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Each depositor is insured to at least $250,000 per insured bank. Well, let's take a look at that right real quick. FDIC, Federal Deposits Insurance. What does the C say? Corporation. It's a private entity. Just like the banks are a private entity. Completely private. So I would say to you, how does this private corporation develop any form of insurance for deposits? How about this? They don't. They don't. See, they just put this here to act, to make you think that there is some confidence that you should have in the bank, because in the past people didn't trust the bank and they wouldn't put their life savings in the bank because they couldn't trust them. So what did they do? They came up with a better scheme and scam so that you could not be excluded from their overall economic collapses. And this was one that facilitated for a long time and was a significant one, but then now they have another one, and it's called digital currency, so that they can crash you at any time. But let's take a look at what the FDIC is saying in this article. It says, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Who pays the policy on this insurance? Who's making the premium payments? How are those payments taken? Okay, you get what I'm saying. It's an insurance. Okay, now it goes on. The Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, the Consumers Financial Protection Bureau, the National Credit Union Administration, and the Office of the Controllers of the Currency Collective Agencies are issuing guidance to ensure the financial institutions are aware of agencies' supervisory expectation regarding deposit reconciliation practices that may be detrimental to customers. The state of applicancy to institutions with total assets under $1 billion, the financial institution letter applies to all FDIC supervised financial institutions. Here it comes. Highlights. The guidance addressed a set of situations in which customers make deposits to account and the dollar amount that the federal institution credits to that account differs. From the total of number, from the total of number of items deposited, excuse me, from the total of the items deposited, such discrepancies may arise in various, in a variety of situations, including inaccuracies on the deposit slip. But this is it. Encoding errors or poor image capture. Hear that? Encoding errors or poor image captures. The result may be a detriment to the customer and a benefit to the financial institution if not appropriately reconciled. Do you hear what they just said to you, ladies and gentlemen? They just said to you that it's a mistake that they're stealing your currency that you're depositing. And this one came out yesterday. Here it is at the bottom of the first bullet point. The result may be a detriment to the customer and a benefit to the financial institution if not appropriately reconciled. They tell you everything before they do it. You're going to start to see errors at the ATM machines. You're going to start to see, you know, everyone that deposits cash into an ATM machine. Let me ask you something. What recourse when you give into that to that machine that it is being recorded? It's a machine. Who do you have to blame? The machine? How many of you ever record what you're doing with depositing your cash into where you actually would record it with your phone, how much you're putting inside of a ATM machine? Well, because of this right here, maybe that's something that you all should be start doing and thinking about for those of you that want to do that with the banks, because this is critical. They're basically telling you they're going to continue to nickel and dime you to death. So they said it, encoding errors or poor image capture. How are you going to mitigate handing in a check that they say there was no check? See, blind faith is always the first step to genocide. Well, we got to stop having blind faith in systems and start elaborating and establishing faith in individuals and people. When you deposit into your accounts, those of you that do that, what recording method do you use when you're using an ATM machine? What recording method do you use when you go inside of a bank? And then, what recording method do you use to make sure the bank isn't actually taking your currency? And I hope it's not you just look at your bank statement and everything else, and online and everything else. Hope that's not what it is, because guess what? That's subject to all kinds of manipulation at any time, because it's all fake anyhow. It's digital nothings. So what am I saying? You need to know all of these things so that you can develop a contingency plan for when you have encoding errors or poor image captures, or such a discrepancy may arrive from various different situations where inaccuracies on the deposit slip have been made. Or you deposit a different amount into an account and is recorded as something else. So what's the end game here? How are they going to fix this? Do you see that this is the perfect system because they can't? And they're basically telling you that they can't? And they're going to tell you, oh, some things happened, don't worry about it, we're going to fix it. But what are they really setting you up for? Some of their future plans. some of their future plans. So it goes on to say, various laws and regulations may be relevant to deposit reconciliation practices. Among them, the Expedient Fund Availability Act, as implemented by the Regulation CC, requiring that the financial institution make funds deposited in a transaction account available for the withdrawal within prescribed time limits. In addition, a financial institution deposit reconciliation practices are subject to Series 5 of the Federal Trade and Commission Act, prohibiting financial institutions from engaging in unfair or deceptive acts or practices. The agency, next bullet, the agency experts expect financial institutions to adopt deposit reconciliation policies and practices that are designed to avoid or reconcile discrepancies or designed to result the discrepancies such that the customers are not disadvantaged. So this is what the banks are so-called supposed to do, and this is the blind faith and the confidence that they tell you as FDIC, we're making sure of this. Really, you are. But you have living wills for the banks. You've established bail-in policies for the banks. You just said that, see, this is the key thing with this whole thing. They say depositors. And this, everything that they're talking here is talking about people making deposits. So in order for you to make a deposit, you have to be a depositor. And as the Seventh Court of Appeal since 2012, that no longer exists, ladies and gentlemen. There are no deposits that you can ever engage in the bank. So it doesn't matter what they write here. Doesn't matter what the FDIC says here. You no longer have a banking relationship. Guess what you have with your banking financial institution? You have a lending practice with them. You have an investment relationship with them. Every time that you go and you so-called put your currency inside of your investment account, all principal is subject to market loss. You don't have a deposit account any longer. So all of this means nothing because you're an investor as so stipulated by the Seventh Court of Appeals. These are some of the things that we really need to know, and you need to look at it from a standpoint of how am I going to engage in this in the way that prevents me from being shorted or taken advantage of by the system. See, if you allow the FDIC to say, we got your back, wait until you need to go up against or wait until the wall comes and see how much support you get from them. This is critical because it's all deceptive in everything. They're telling you that mistakes are made and everything else, and they tell you that your deposits, you can't be disadvantaged. But see, that's already been nullified by the G7 meeting, the G20 meeting in Brisbane that said all cash is no longer money but paper investment. Once again, they tell you. And this private corporation known as an insurance, the Federal Deposit Insurance, the big problem was that you no longer make any deposits. So there is no such thing as FDIC anymore. Because they can only engage in depositors. So now when banks go under, what happens is this: if they start to lose their overall in the market and their credit default swaps and everything else, and then the bank starts to get into trouble because of the shaky and the risky investments that they made, they can't go to FDIC for that. because the FDIC only insures depositors. There is no insurance for investing. It doesn't say the Federal Investing Insurance Corporation. This is critical. These are some of the things that we need to know what's going on. How do you feel about this? What do you think about this? It's right there in black and white. Is this still something? How are you going to? I would tell you, you need to look at all the policies that you have and all of the things that you're going to use, because these people have this stuff in place for a reason. They tend to use it. When are they going to use it? Who cares? If you don't protect yourself now, you won't protect yourself later. So the key is to protect yourself now, because you don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's definitely going to happen. It's been happening. It's just like running a gauntlet of alligators on a small 2x4. When the alligator is going to attack, who knows, depending on how long it is. But you know one thing, when they get hungry, they're going to snap. So, listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about that? You posted inside of Tando right there, the FDIC Phil 35-2016, which came out yesterday, May 18th. So give us a call. Tell me what you think about it. How does this play into your plans, and what do you plan on doing? Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. We got a caller in queue. Don't want to go straight to them. What do you feel and what do you think about the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation? We're no longer depositors, so there is no insurance from a private corporation. And even if it was, they don't have any real cash to be able to deal with any major bank going down or any multiple banks of size going down, so it's a facade. But let's go to a call and see what's going on there. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Greetings to you, Brother Dave. It's Roz. How are you doing?
What's going on, brother? How you doing, Roz?
I'm good. It's good to hear you today. You've been seriously dropping some gems. What you just talked about with the article you read from with the FDIC, really just speak.
Wait, Rod. I don't mean to break it, but I got a question, bro.
Sure.
I think you received something recently. Yes?
Yes, I did. It was yesterday I got it, and it was the coins and other precious metals that I ordered from you. And I was just flabbergasted. They were beautiful. I was just totally mesmerized with what I saw. And when I looked, through the whole site, actually, but as I got the coins, I got the Meerkat coin, I got the Somalian coin.
In the Congo.
The Congo. And I just ordered some more, actually, yesterday. And
Yep. You're going to be shipped out tomorrow.
No problem. And it was just I was looking at, because I've heard you talk about them for a while now, and some of the other people in the precious metals class who have been making the purchases, and they were all talking about, and yourself included, about just how beautiful and the quality of the coins. And to see it for myself, wow. I was just completely blown away. You saw my email. I was just like, whoa,
yeah.
Amazing. And it just piqued my interest even more, like I said. That's a part of my contingency plan. So I'm sure you already know that, as far as just trying to convert this nonsensical monopoly money they're playing with into something of substance. So I totally understand what you're saying. And the process of, like, what you read about the FDIC really speaks to one of the main operating systems of white supremacy, which is actually Dr. Marimba Ani coined the term rhetorical ethics. And that's what they do. They convince you that things are one way while they're working complete iniquity in secret, which is opposite to what they're putting out publicly. And that is the entire history of white supremacy from the time we as African people encountered them. And this is just the most sophisticated variation, because I've always said any aspects of technology or so-called technology that white people create, it's never for the benefit of anyone else but themselves. And they indoctrinate everyone into accepting these things until it becomes what they call universal. But it's not really that. If you look at the internet, all of these things, they're just engines to collect information. And based on that information, they aggregate it, and it lets them know how successful their plots have been. So when you hear, like, the Department of Justice talking about all of the different incidences of police killing black males, and they come with these statistics, the statistics are not to give you the impression that they're going to do something, because if we've seen with all the cases that ended up there, whether it's Ferguson, you name it, nothing's ever done. So what they do is they aggregate that information, they look at how black people respond to these incidences, and it lets them know how to perfect their genocide against our people. And to me, that article kind of speaks to that on a financial level. They're speaking without the right side of their mouth, and the left side of their mouth is talking to someone else doing something else. And I just think the information you've been putting out there really brings all of that home. Another thing I wanted to speak on was the ancestor, El Haj Malik El Shabazz. And what struck me about him, too, was I remember Dr. Ben was talking about him and a couple other African scholars, but Dr. Ben talked about at one point the fact that when he got into the situation with the Nation of Islam and everything started to really get serious, Bumpy Johnson stepped to him, mm-hmm. and him and Bumpy were boys. Like, they, you know, he knew him as Detroit Red, and he witnessed his transition into Malcolm X. And he respected him. They both respected each other. They remained friends until Bumpy passed away. And Bumpy actually offered to kill Elijah Muhammad. And Malcolm said, I don't want to be a part of, you know, black-on-black violence. That's not something I wanted to do. And it was his character. The level of his character was so above reproach in regards to, even if you look at the Malcolm X movie, when the FBI was tapping his phone, and he was talking to Betty, and they had said, oh, he's no king. They were alluding to the fact that they had tried many times to get him to cheat on his wife, all of these things, and to do the things that he basically turned his life away from, and he would never bite because he really was about the work. And what you said about Betty is very true. A lot of us really don't think about the fact that everything that he did with her support, because without her staying home to hold down the home fort and take care of those babies, he would have never been able to travel anywhere to, you know, really make the significant foothold that the Nation of Islam had across the United States. He would have never been able to go to Africa and to learn all the information he learned from the different African dignitaries and diplomats that he was able to confer with when he was planning to sue the United States through the United Nations for human rights abuses and genocide against black people. So we really have to give her the respect because, you know, like they say, behind every great man is an even better female, and she was that, and she deserves that kind of respect and that reverence. The other thing was, I remember you said that he was an American. I really think that the term American is a part of that rhetorical ethic. It was Dr. Welson who talked about the fact that if you take the word American, it's an anagram, and if you rearrange the letters, it spells out I am race. So if they're basically telling you this country is about racism, white supremacy in the name America. And I don't use the term African American because it was given to us by white people, and it implies that just if you listen to the semantics, African American is saying that I'm an African attempting to be an American, and the term American implies white. I reverse the term, and I use the term American-African. The reason why is because black people in this country are African people, so putting African last puts the focus on Africa as my foundation. So when I say American-African, it's just saying I'm a prisoner of war kidnapped by white people, i.e. Americans, but my allegiance is to Africa. So I'm the American variation of an African, and the only reason I have become that is because I was kidnapped, and I'm an intergenerational prisoner of war. So that's the term that I use. The other thing I wanted to speak on was, I think it was Brother Jambone, was talking about the albinos, and that's something that I've been talking about on the cows for quite a while. Actually, in Malawi, there was just an article a couple of weeks ago where they said the killing of albinos has become, reached such epidemic proportions that they're in danger of extinction. And what it is that in Africa, white supremacy has manifested itself in this belief that to procure albino body parts gives them magical powers and gives them good luck. So you have these black Africans chopping limbs off of albino Africans to use as talisman and in different rituals and things like that. And so conditioned we are to abuse each other. There's millions of white people in Africa who are invaders, who they could chop the body parts off of all day if they want to make talisman, and they're the true white people. But we Africans won't do that. They'll kill the albinos because they know albinos have no power. And they're also they have so many health problems as far as their inability to be in the sun, them getting skin cancer and dying at a very young age, all of these things. And to speak more about that, when Jambone was talking about Europe, I was thinking about Brother Bragg the other day, the conversation that we were having. And it's funny because in the book Civilization and Barbarism by Chikan Tajap, he talks about the Grimaldi Africans, which were the oldest skeletons they found in Europe, and those people were African. On top of that, you had the, Brother Brax talked about this, the diminutive blacks, the small blacks, the Twa, racistly called pygmy people. They're not pygmies, they're Twa, Hutu, or they have their own indigenous names. These were the original people that they found in Europe, and actually white people killed them off. If you read the book, it's called African Presence in Early Europe by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. He talks about the fact that Eric the Red, when he had traveled to Greenland, I believe it was, or Iceland, he had found these small black people that were there before him. And he said, he wrote in his journal that they lived in caves, and they were very peaceful people. They were agricultural, and he called them weak. He called them scary because they were not like warrior people. They had very cohesive societies, and he said what they did was they starved them out. They were so taken aback, I guess, with white people. They'd never seen them before, so they hid from them, and they literally starved them out. And when they came out, because they were basically hungry, they murdered them all off, and that's how white people basically took over Greenland. The albinos themselves, you have, because Dr. Wilson talked about the fact that white people are albino mutants, but they're not the same as African albinos. Those are two different groups of people. If you look at African albinos, they don't have aquiline noses. They don't have straight hair. They have kinky hair, broad noses. They look just like any other black person, just that they lack pigment, which is that genetic recessive trait that comes up. White people themselves are a different variant. I remember Dr. Wilson on one episode of The Cow, she gave the exact variant of albinism that white people are. And what happened was when they were trapped in Europe, they were only able to interbreed with one another. So they're basically an inbred race that was trapped in the ice. And once the ice melted about 10,000 BC, they were able to come out of Europe. And that's where there's a great documentary called The First People on PBS, and they sell it on Amazon, where they talk about the fact that everyone who's not of African descent basically had, that's Asian people, white people, anyone who's not African, has 3 to 5% Neanderthal genes. So these Neanderthals, these white people left Europe. They actually met with Africans migrating out of Africa thousands of years ago, and they met in the Middle East. And because of their amalgamation, they created what we now know as the Jews and the Arabs. So when you read Dr. Chancellor Williams' book, Destruction of Black Civilization, where he talks about the mixed-race buffer class, Jews and Arabs are exactly who he's talking about, because that's where they came from. And what they tried to do was instate their own form of supremacy, Arabs using Islam the way that whites use Christianity to do the same, but they're not as successful because white people really run things. We live in a global system of white supremacy. So that's what I wanted to really chime in with, is that there's serious history with that. I would say Golden Age of the Moors, African presence in early Europe. Also, Dr. Van Sertima has a video, African Presence in Early Europe, on YouTube as well. And I think it'll help to give more information on white people, where they came from, and their origins. And also, I think Renoka Rashidi also put out a book called Black Star, the Ivan Van Sertima Papers, Black Star, The African Presence in Early Europe, which is in addition to that for people who want to get more information about that. But I just wanted to chime in with that information and say brilliant, brilliant, brilliant with the FDIC. I think you said it all. And I think anyone who's reading the writing on the walls needs to make some decisions soon because they're about to lay the hammer down real soon. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, want to just about Malcolm. When I categorized Malcolm, I was saying he was more American than what America could be, meaning what they were supposedly with their deed. I mean, what their creed was actually that indeed. That had nothing to do with being American, but the overall the creed of and the deeds that follow the commitment thereof was far beyond. Oh, yeah. It's you know, because that's what I was alluding to. It had nothing to do with.
No, I agree with
yeah.
you. That's also
yeah.
a part of the rhetorical ethic. You know, they write all this stuff in the Constitution, all men are made equal, all of this nonsense.
Right.
But yet,
right.
you look at what they actually did. It was the complete genocide of the Native Americans, the genocide of African people. So I understood everything you were saying. So I wasn't speaking
oh, yeah.
against what you were saying. It's just that
so
many of our people buy into that ideology, and they really talk like if, hey, you know, it's America. And I'm just like, if you read the Constitution, the legal definition of a citizen, which they actually repealed that particular amendment. But if you read it, I remember it, when I looked it up in the legal dictionary, the third definition expressly states that anyone who is not white is not an American citizen. They actually wrote it in plain black and white. If you look it up, it's the legal dictionary, and look up legal definition of a citizen. And when I saw it, it was the third definition. It literally mm-hmm. says that African people, aboriginals, anyone who is non-white is not a U.S. citizen. And Gus on the Cows was saying that they repealed that particular definition and that amendment. But if you look at how America functions, it's exactly the same. So, again, you can change mm-hmm. something on paper, but you're never going to change the psychology of a psychopathic, genocidal people. And that's what
right.
we're dealing with, is rhetorical ethic and on every level possible. Tell you one thing while doing something else.
Yeah, the deeds is really what counts. And that's that was what was so great about the whole family, you know. And I'm just you know, I always, from growing up in New York and in New Jersey, in that area, you know, was always intrigued about that great spirit that we had portrayed. And I remember growing up in Jersey, where everyone knew who the actual shooter was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was so heartbreaking to me, was that we know, and there isn't anything that we're going to do. And I realized something very quickly. Not only are our whole society has been stained by this corruptive nature, it has seeped itself into our overall culture, because we pass that on, because that's what you do with cultures. You pass it on as the way in which you live. And that was always so disturbing to me, and to the point
yeah.
where I you know, I remember.
And
I just
said
don't
that too. When you talked about culture, I was just talking to this brother the other day. I met him on the Cows, and we were talking about culture, and I said to him, all a culture is the ability of a living organism to pass on knowledge that is
yep.
highly important
exactly.
for the survival of that group. And what
the sustainable, exactly.
sustain the group. And what I find is that African Americans, like you said, or American Africans, I should say, we don't have a culture. Our culture is white supremacy. And what I found is that the culture that a lot of us have passed on to our children, the culture to survive is join white supremacy, go along to get along, don't fight for anything. And that's what we've been conditioned to do just by them killing the most, Malcolm X, killing him off and making him an example for all the other black males to see this is what's going to happen to you if you act up. So that culture that we've passed on is a culture of submission. It's a culture of subjugation, self-subjugation, a culture of anti-blackness and self-hatred with what we see in the mirror. That is the culture we have now. And if you listen to all, not all, but the vast majority of rappers out there, that's what they're talking about, self-genocide. If you watch television, the vast majority of black males on TV are homosexual. If they're not homosexual, they have them in tragic arrangements with white people. I just was talking about this the other day. If you look at commercials, the only time I see a black male, a dark-skinned black male and dark-skinned black female together are elderly. When I see young black people, like in their 20s, 30s, and younger, they always have them in these miscegenated unions, these tragic arrangements with white people, whether it's a black female with a white male, black male with a white female. They never have the black male and female together. And if they are together, they're in conflict. So we have been saturated and acculturated, and it's now, in, I think, in our genetic code, that culture of just do whatever white people want so we can survive. And now what people like you and all the people who listen to Tando and all the people who are true American Africans trying to get what was taken back from us as a people, we are doing the opposite. We are doing what brothers like Malcolm X did and all the other great African people who were fighting for our freedom. And that's what we need to try and transform. Is the first, most important, is the ending of anti-blackness. If we can really start moving in that direction, it'll be the most major dent in the system of white supremacy towards us really ending it. Because the only way that they're able to be so successful at doing what they do, because they're probably about, 7% of the population and they're dropping rapidly, is with mind control over the other 93%. That's why I'll say it again. What black people are in and non-white people is the matrix. White supremacy is the matrix. Matrix, mutant, albino, terroristic, racist indoctrination, and the X stands for unknown, because the people who don't understand that white people are at war with us are black people. And that's what, if you listen to that, mutant, albino, terroristic, racist indoctrination, unknown. That spells out matrix. It's an acronym that I coined. And I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
All right, right. Good. You know, it's amazing how we have and how we really need to reignite ourselves instead of allowing any schooling to define ourselves. And that comes from the real culture that has been lost among pretty much everyone. And it all goes down to ritual practice. We've subjugated ourselves to fallen ritual practices that will only continue to destroy any real expression of what we really can be, because it never gets off of the ground. It never, because we won't allow it to. We won't execute our free will. We have to request permission to stand. That's the problem. That's the problem. And that is our problem. And that is really our problem. Well, bruh, and it was something else, but it'll come to me. But we'll get some stuff out to you tomorrow. I can't wait till you get the next one, the Cleopatra. You're really going to like that one, brother.
I'm looking forward to that. And matter of fact, I'm going to send you a link to an essay that I wrote.
It's
going to end up being in my book, but it's an essay called Educational Edited Dictation. And a sister that has called into the cows numerous times, she actually posted it on her site because she thought she just really liked it. And I'm going to send you a link to it so you can see it, because what we're talking about is exactly what I'm talking about in that essay. And I use an African proverb to kind of lead into what the discussion is. But I'm going to send you the link to it this evening so you can check it out. And I think you're going to be blown away with that. You might end up wanting to read the proverb, because I think the proverb is life-changing for black people. Every black person that I've ever introduced to that essay, and when they read that proverb, they said, wow, I never thought about it that way. So I'm definitely going to send it to you this evening. And, I think.
Hey, I love to think about things different ways, because a question is eternal while an answer is temporary. That's why a question is more important, because it takes you in so many – it is infinite. Because it brings more questions. An answer does not always bring another answer, but every answer is because of a question that has a state of being.
Amazing. Yeah. So much love, much respect, brother. We're going to definitely keep – wow, the time definitely flies. And I look up – there's a couple of other things I wanted to get to. But, you know, I always like to let the show go where it's going to go. I don't like to manipulate or definitely affect it in a way that it shouldn't, because I think everything is so important that we engage in, especially within our people, because there are so many times that we don't speak and we just go along with it. And I really do treasure you speaking, because there is no outlet really that gives you a voice for things. And that is the biggest, and that is a very, very difficult problem to overcome psychologically, to realize that you have a voice when you never hear one. That means that you have to speak it. You have to speak it, because everything you speak goes into existence and lives as an energy. But there was an article, real quick, check out some of these. Well, you know what? We're not going to, but I'm going to, some of the ones you really need to check out, and we're going to pick this up tomorrow. We're going to do a little test on how prepared you are. I have a questionnaire test on how prepared you are, and we're going to do that. And I forget what the other thing is. We may do the 96-hour start to finish that up, but we're definitely going to do that test, because you need to know, because things are evolving to where – and the thing about being prepared is this. I've never met one person that is prepared that is afraid of anything. Every person that I meet that brings that old weak spirit of fear is someone that ain't ready for nothing.
True.
Ain't ready for nothing. So you accept everything. That's why you're scared. You don't know what it's going to bring. I don't accept anything, so I'm not scared of anything at all. I won't accept what's in that box, because I don't want that box. I don't just accept anything. But people that are not prepared will accept anything, and they accept anything based off of normalcy bias. Think that everything is always going to be all right, and it's just like yesterday. Why? Because today was like that. Every day is going to be. No, that means that you don't realize, nor can you pick up what's going on in the spirit realm. You deaden, you silence that capability within you. And this is what affects our ability to be able to discern what's going on around us. We won't actually, there is no trigger or alert that we get way before we get somewhere, because we've turned that off. And we bombarded ourselves with electronic noise that destroys our bodies. It's all noise. So, listen, everyone.
I just sent it to you, too, just to let you know.
Okay, cool, brother.
All right, you have a great one. Thanks again.
You too, brother. Okay, we'll talk, man. For sure. One love. One. Man, it's end of the show already. Getting ready to get out of here. I just want to say thank you all for listening today. Tomorrow we're going to have a great show for you guys. It's going to be a quiz on Are You Ready? And we're going to do this for a lot of reasons, because you need to get ready because of some of the things that's going on. Read some of the articles that are on Tando. Very, very important one. Read the one about the war in 1 year. We'll pick that up. I'll pick up some of the things that we need to definitely take a look at, but we're also going to take this quiz tomorrow. So I want to just thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Much love and much respect. And remember, before you ask for a fortune, give one away. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up.